All right, Matthew chapter 28. Let's begin reading together with verse 1. We'll read down to verse 15, and then we'll go to Mark, and we'll read some Bible, Luke and John, go right through it like that. I may point out a few things to you while we go. All right, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, so it's going to be now Sunday morning, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, that's not his mother, this is going to be somebody else. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him, lo, I have told you. Now Galilee is going to be north of where they are. Jerusalem is in Judea, and they would have to go up to Galilee, which is where they came down from before the crucifixion, which would be up even north of Samaria. So he said, go up there and I'll see you up there. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that you go into Galilee, or that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, those are the keepers now, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests and all things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So basically, they weren't supposed to fall asleep on their watch, and if that's the excuse, then when the governor wants to kill you or punish you for doing that, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And they bribed him. Now turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we'll read the account of the resurrection again. And you're going to notice as you read these passages, they're going to seem like they contradict. Because you're going to see things that don't match up the same way that you read in Matthew. But you're going to find, in fact, that they don't contradict, they complement. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, so there was actually other women, had brought sweet spices, and they met, and that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. You see, in Matthew, they're running back to tell the disciples, and he shows up. Here it says he appeared to Mary Magdalene first, and alone in this case. Verse 10, And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, what was their response? Believe not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them, that's to fuss at them, chew them out, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. All right, now let's go to Luke chapter 24 and read the account again. Luke chapter 24, we'll read the account again, and then we'll put all these things together. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 1. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So now, in addition to Mary, and Salome, others with them are coming. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. See the difference? And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, there's a new name, and Mary is the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not, as if the women were making up the story. There's no reason why men should believe that. Verse 12, Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. This is the two that Mark told you about. Now, Luke 24 goes on to tell you all of the conversation between them and Jesus Christ, which we won't discuss this morning. But at the end of this, they sit down to a meal, he blesses the bread and breaks it, and when they see him do that, they recognize right away that he's Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 33 in Luke 24. Jumping ahead then, Luke 24:33, They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Man, you got all kind of things. Now you find out there's a bunch of women that came. Four of them by name, Mary, Salome, Joanna, and other women also. You find out that Peter's been there now. You find out that there's two men in shining raiment, not just one. They're standing, not sitting on a stone or sitting at the... There's all kind of things going on here, and you're looking at that thinking, how in the world do you reconcile all of this? This is what causes scholars to say, we've got to go back to the Greek. There's obviously been a mistake. Now go to John chapter 20, and we'll get another account. There is obviously not a mistake. God's words are true, and God's words are pure. The mistake is in our understanding, not in the words. John chapter 20, look at verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, no mention of the other women, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's going to be John, the author of this gospel. The other disciple whom Jesus loved is John. And saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. Who was missing? The angels. They didn't see anybody. They just see the clothes and the empty tomb. Verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting. There they are. They weren't there when Peter and John looked in, but there they are. Seeth two angels in white sitting. Luke said they were standing. The one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and she saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not. Now the other ones that saw him in Matthew touched him, held him by the feet. Here he says, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. That's something that the angels didn't tell them. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And then he showed them his hands and his feet. All right, now there you go. You've got all that laid out. And it doesn't lay out neatly, does it? I mean, sometimes they see angels, sometimes they don't see any. Sometimes they see one. Mary Magdalene's there with a bunch of women, but then she's there alone. Peter's there, but then Peter and John are there. Angels are sitting, angels are standing, angels are separated. Sometimes there's one, sometimes there's two. And you look at all that stuff, you think, how in the world are we possibly going to reconcile all of this? Well, one of the easiest ways to study this passage of Scripture is to look at it from the perspective of the characters that are involved. In other words, first of all, we should look at it from the standpoint of the two Marys that are introduced to us in Matthew chapter 28 and carry it out that way. Then we'll look at it from the standpoint of the angels and the disciples and Jesus and the chief priests and the elders and the keepers. And by then, you should be able to get it all sorted out, and you'll find out that everything you've read is exactly the way that it happened, and it's all complementary. It's just that with four gospel writers, none of them give you the same bit of information. In the same way that if you witnessed, if four of us walked out here and we witnessed a wreck out here and then the police came to give a police report, your eyewitness accounts would not be identical. But together, they should tell the whole story, unless one of you lied. Now, the characters directly involved with the resurrection are, first of all, the two Marys. All right? Now, from what we studied in Matthew chapter 28, they show up when? They show up at the end of the Sabbath, but in the very early time. Now, remember, as we studied last week, a Jew's day begins at 6 p.m. in the evening. So the end of the Sabbath is actually the night before. And they get there pre-dawn. They're getting there in the dawn, in the daylight, but before the sun is up. They're very early in the morning. They get there. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, came to the sepulcher. They were with Joanna. They were with Salome, and they were actually with some other women. There were quite a number of them that were going there. And the question they had is, who's going to roll the stone away? Before they get there, they're wondering who's going to roll the stone away. But then when they looked up at the tomb, they see that the stone has already been rolled away. It followed an earthquake. The angel, Matthew tells us, is the one that rolled it away. And when they look up there, they see that angel, and where is he? He's sitting on the stone. And he says to him right away, you know, what are you doing here? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's risen. He's not here, as he said. Now go tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee. And so they're standing outside of that thing, and they can see the place from where they are. They can see the place where he lay. Now according to Mark, when you read Mark, in chapter 16, verses 5 to 8, if you're keeping notes, according to Mark, they entered the sepulcher, and when they got in there, what did they see first thing? If you remember, what did they see? They saw a young man. They saw a young man, and he was sitting down. clothed in a long white garment, and he was sitting on the right side when they looked inside of there. Then according to Luke, he must have stood up when they got inside of the tomb, and then the other angel that had been sitting on the stone came in and standing there with them. So now they are in the presence of two angels that are standing just like Luke 24:4 told you. I mean, wouldn't that be the thing a gentleman would do when ladies enter the room?
Yeah.
He'd stand. So that angel would have stood, and the angel that was sitting on the stone entered into there, and he's standing with the women as well. And he told, and the other angels told them, don't be afraid, Jesus is risen. And then they gave instructions again to tell the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee. And then in Matthew chapter 28, verse 7, after hearing the instructions, they ran to tell the disciples, and Mark tells us they didn't talk to anybody. They were scared because they didn't know what had happened, and they're running. They don't see the guards there. All they see is these two angels, and this is a spooky thing. Remember, the sun's still not up good yet. I mean, it's not exactly what they expected at all. Now, back in Luke chapter 24, in verse 9, you don't have to keep flipping, but if you're keeping notes, what'd they do? They went to the 11. They went to the disciples, to the ones that were the main ones. But there were also others with them when they went there. Now, they weren't just alone. It wasn't just the 11. There were several others there with them. And they went to tell them what they had heard. They went to tell them these things. Now, according to the passage that we read in John, after they get there and tell the disciples, hey, he's risen! They're all going, yeah, yeah. Old wives' tales. You guys don't even, and you're not even married. You don't even know what you're talking about. anyway, what happens? After they go and tell the 11, what happens next? It's hard to remember from what you read, isn't it? According to John chapter 20, Peter and John leave with one of the women. Who do they leave with? Mary Magdalene. And they go back to the tomb. They're running. As a matter of fact, they're running fast. John outruns Peter on the way, and Mary's making off. I mean, if somebody were coming to steal the body, right, wouldn't they just get it and go? But the fact that the clothes are lying there by themselves, and then the napkin by itself, is as if he took the thing off. Now, once he comes up in a glorified body, literally, he can pass right through the clothing. And it's actually what it seems like. They're lying by themselves, and then the napkin's folded. It's like he right through that thing and then took that napkin off and laid it over there. But it doesn't look like anybody stole the body. Not if they're going to take the time to unwind the grave clothes. So after they see this, they leave. Now, Peter still doesn't believe it. But the Bible tells us in John chapter 20 that John did believe it. And up to this time, he is the only one. Mary still doesn't believe it. And you find that out in John chapter 20, because when she sees Jesus, she thinks he's the gardener. She's weeping. He says, why are you crying? And she wants to know where they laid him. Did you take him? Do you know where he is? So she still doesn't believe it. So she stayed behind there, and according to Mark chapter 16, verse 9, she is the first person that Jesus Christ appeared to. And in fact, she is. Peter and John have gone. They've gone back to tell the disciples. All the other women are gone. Mary is there alone. The angel asks why you're weeping. She turns around and talks to Jesus, not recognizing that he is the risen Savior. And he asks why she's crying, and then he calls her name. And as soon as she hears her name called, she calls him Rabboni and tries to touch him. And what did he say? Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Don't touch me. And so she didn't touch him. And then what she does is she goes, according to her instructions, and reports to the disciples now that she has seen the Lord. Okay? Everything's still fitting fine. Then in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, when the other ladies are still notifying apostles and disciples of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to them. They're still telling folks. You got, because you know there are, how many people are in the upper room at Pentecost? 120. And how many people did Jesus Christ appear to at one time, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? The most that he appeared to at one time? 500. So there are a lot of disciples to notify. And while they're still out there telling the disciples, Jesus appeared to them. And what did they do? According to Matthew 28:9, what did they do? Huh? They held him by his feet and worshipped him. Okay. Put it together. What just happened? Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He went up in the time that between the time that Mary had seen him and the time that he appears to those that are still notifying disciples. He's gone up and come back. That's a pretty quick trip. That's pretty, you know, he didn't have to wait on the weather to clear like they do at Cape Canaveral and down there. None of that stuff. No space shuttle, anti-gravity, big fuel, none of, you know, like that thing. Up and back in a hurry. We've talked about this before, but some of you might not have been here when we did. Why would he have ascended into heaven in that short period of time and come right back? Any idea? He took the Old Testament saints who were in Abraham's bosom. Their souls had been kept there from Luke chapter 16. And he took those, according to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't mean to do this to you. We get to the end of this. If I can, I'll go back there and show you. We're going to study this more times than now. But he took those souls to heaven that had been kept in Abraham's bosom. No Old Testament saint ever went to heaven after he died but three. There are three Old Testament saints that went up, and the rest of them stayed in Abraham's bosom. Who went up? Enoch, Elijah, and Moses. The only three. All the rest of the souls were down there, and he took them up. He also anointed, according to Hebrews, the heavenly things with his blood. The shed blood of the lambs down here anointed the earthly tabernacle. His blood anointed the heavenly tabernacle. All right, so he makes a pretty quick trip and comes right back. You know, I always believed in the ascension of Jesus Christ from my childhood days when I first heard about it. And I would say the Apostles' Creed, and I would know that he descended into hell 3 days and three nights and came up and ascended into heaven. And I testified it. I didn't have any trouble believing that at all. But I had no idea he made this one. This ascension. But he told her, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended. They touch him. He's been and come back. All right, and then in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 28, he confirms the angel's instructions. Go tell him to meet me in Galilee. All right, now, that's the perspective from Mary. Is that all pretty clear? That all fall in place for you? She's been there once and come back again with Peter and John, see? She didn't see all this the first time she was there. Now, the angels. We'll look at it from the perspective of the angels. How many of them were there? Two. How many did they see when they first came up to the tomb? One. And where was he? He was sitting on that rock outside. When they went inside, what did they see? They saw another one. And where was he? Sitting on the right side. And then he stood, the other one that was outside came in, he stood, and now, like Luke said, there's two standing with the women inside the tomb, giving the same instructions. Go back, tell the disciples, meet him in Galilee. He's risen. He's not here. All right? When Mary remained after Peter and John left, where were the angels then? They were sitting. They were sitting, one at the head of where Jesus had lain, and one at the feet of where Jesus had lain. And they're the ones that ask her, why are you crying? And she wanted to know where he was. So that's what's going on with the angels. The neat thing about this is if you'll just take the time with a pencil and a piece of paper and try to put the things all together, they lay out a beautiful chronology of everything that happened that day. There's no contradiction to it whatsoever. Somebody said one time, I remember when we were studying in school, somebody said, oh, you know, they all say that the gospel writers wrote after Mark wrote. In other words, Mark wrote first and then they got their ideas from what Mark wrote down. Well, these stories that you're reading here on the resurrection, they don't match up well at all. Nobody's getting nothing from nobody except directly from the Holy Spirit because they're telling you too many details that don't fit with the other ones unless you put them together. They don't one doesn't come from the other. They're separate accounts. All right, now let's look at the resurrection from the standpoint of the keepers. The keepers, the men that were at the watch. For that, we'll be back in Matthew chapter 28. And before we go on, because we're going to spend a little time right here in Matthew 28 now, has it been, I want to just know, has it been helpful when we have to put these together to read all the text first and then talk about them rather than keep flipping? Is that helping you a little bit? Okay. All right, good. I thought it might help a little, and I wanted to check with you and be sure that's right. Okay, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 4, notice that when in verse 2, when the earth quaked and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven in verse 2 and rolled back the stone from the door, and that his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Nobody, Mark, Luke, and John, don't tell you how that stone got rolled away. Only Matthew tells you that. And Matthew tells you not only did they see this and shake and become as dead men, he tells you the rest of what happened to the keepers. What does that tell you then about the incident that happened before the Marys and all the women got there? What does that tell you? Huh? The guards talked, exactly, and Matthew got what it was. The guards talked and told him exactly what happened. They were the eyewitnesses. And if they were the eyewitnesses to a stone rolling back at the hands of an angel revealing an empty tomb, then somebody is an eyewitness that at the moment that thing opened, there's nobody there. Watch what they do. Verse 11, Matthew chapter 28. Now when they were going, that is, the women are out running around telling everybody what happened, behold, some of the watch, not all of them, but some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, safety in numbers. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. That is a bribe. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now they know that's a lie because they were there and saw what happened. And if this come to the governors, wasn't that tomb sealed? So they would have known up until the time that the angel rolled that thing away, that seal had not been broken. There's no way the disciples could have gone in there and taken the body. And if this come to the governor's ears, that'd be Pilate, we will persuade him and secure you. That is, if he wants to punish you or kill you because you fell asleep on the watch, according to your story, then we'll make sure that you don't die. We'll take care of it. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Why? Because not all of the watch went. Not all the watch accepted the bribe, and some of those guys told the truth about what happened and thereby did not corroborate their story, but rather contradicted their story. Matthew knew it and told you exactly what happened. An angel came and rolled that stone away after the earthquake, and those guys ran because they were scared to death. So that's the perspective of the resurrection from the standpoint of the keepers. All right, now the chief priests and elders, we've just read it. It's a very brief little account of what happened. But the chief priests and elders are also characters that are involved with the resurrection. They had been told by eyewitnesses, the part of the watch that came to them, that Jesus had risen from the dead, that nobody stole that body. They'd been told. These eyewitnesses did not testify to seeing Jesus personally, but they did testify that they did see an angel and the stone roll back from an empty tomb. So, when confronted with the truth, do the chief priests and elders have an excuse or not an excuse? When confronted with the truth of his resurrections, do the elders and chief priests have an excuse, i.e., we didn't know what was going on? No. No, they got the first-hand account, and they are not without excuse. They knew for sure that one thing they said about Jesus Christ was not true. You know what they called him? He's calling right now. You know what they called him when they got ready to crucify, you know, after he'd been put in the tomb? They said, that deceiver said that he would rise after 3 days. You know what they found out? He wasn't a deceiver. He wasn't lying at all. He's telling the truth. Wasn't a deceiver. How about the disciples? Let's look at this whole thing with the resurrection from the standpoint of the disciples. What were they doing? Well, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 10, they were crying. They were mourning and weeping. 3 days after the crucifixion, they can't get over it yet. They've seen a bloody death. They obviously have lost their hope that Jesus Christ is going to rise from the dead. When they first heard about the resurrection from the women that had been to the tomb, what did they do? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe the women. They thought the women had made it up. They thought it was a tale, an idle tale, just something like, oh, cheer up, guys. He's up, just like he said he would be. They even heard confirmation of the empty tomb from two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, who had an opportunity to walk with Jesus and had confirmation because he opened the scriptures. You see the problem here? The problem here is this. Back in Luke chapter 16, when the rich man went to hell and Lazarus, the beggar that had begged at his gate, ended up in Abraham's bosom, the rich man said to Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers. I've got five brothers. Send Lazarus to my brothers that he may tell them the truth of the torment of this place so they don't have to come here. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear, or they have Moses, let them hear him. And he says, nay, we don't want to listen to the scripture, nay, but if one rose from the dead, they will hear him. And Abraham said, if one rose from the dead, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe if one rose from the dead. And then Jesus Christ rises from the dead, they have evidence from the clothes that are laid there, from the testimony of the angels, from the testimony of Mary Magdalene who had seen him, from the testimony of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they still don't believe. You know why? Because it takes the scripture. They won't believe though one rose from the dead. When he opened the scriptures, we'll study this at another time in Luke chapter 24, to the two men on the road to Emmaus, boom, that's when their eyes were opened. That's when they recognized who it was. And so the disciples did not yet know the scripture, even though he had spoken to them several times about his resurrection. It didn't click. They didn't get it. Somebody said, how come it takes sometimes people come into church 5 or 6 or 8 times hearing the gospel before they get saved? You know why? Because the Lord has opening the scripture to them. I talked to a fellow one time not too long ago about the Lord and in leading him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to me, all the times before that I've heard the gospel preached, it was like walking into a dark room and stumbling over the furniture. But today, it's just like somebody walked in the room and clicked on the light, and now I see everything clearly. You know who that was? It was the Holy Spirit. And he opened to him the scriptures. And so the disciples don't believe, don't believe, don't believe. And then finally, the only one that did believe was John. And finally, Jesus Christ walks in there, shows them the prints of the nails in the hands, upbraids them for their unbelief, and then testifies to them that he is, in fact, the risen Savior. Then they finally get it. So the disciples had a rough day. Had a rough day. Heard a lot of accounts of him missing, but still didn't believe that he was raised. He was. Okay, and then finally, the other character that we need to study about on the resurrection is whom? I mean, we've studied about the Marys, and we've studied about the angels, and we've studied about the disciples, and we've studied about the keepers, and we've studied about the chief priests and the elders. Jesus. the main one. The main event. Jesus Christ. And in the order of the things we've read this morning, here's what happened. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared the first time to Mary Magdalene after Peter and John had left the tomb. Then, as Mary was going back and the other women were testifying to disciples about, as they were going to tell some other disciples about his resurrection, he appeared to them after his ascension. They held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then, according to the Bible, he appeared to Peter. Then he appeared to Peter. When we read Luke chapter 24, and the two men on the road to Emmaus got to the disciples, they said, he hath appeared to Peter. Paul will tell you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he appeared to Peter of the disciples. He appeared to him first. Then he appeared to Peter. After that, he appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus that you read about and Mark talked about. And then he appeared to the disciples when they were gathered together in that room right before nightfall. And all of this happened on the day of his resurrection. So he had a number of appearances that first day. Okay? All right, now that's a lot of stuff. But, you know, we get it all condensed into one lesson. So...